صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا ابن رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا مظلوم يا غريب كربلاء، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سيدي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. صلوات. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم اخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا من خزائن علومك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. من عرف نفسه فقد عرف ربه. He who knows himself knows his Lord. We were created as beings that know. That's what differentiates us from a being that doesn't know, which is every other being. That we have the ability to know what we at one point did not know. There's a difference between knowledge and intellect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim. He has all ilm, all knowledge. But He is not aqil. He does not have an intellect. The intellect which we all are endowed with is that part of us, that faculty within us that differentiates between right and wrong. Allah doesn't need that. He created that for us. Allah knows truth as it is, absolutely. We are to want to get closer to that name, Al-Alim, and to get closer to Ilm, because there's nothing other than Him to know anyway. In order to do that, we must get to know ourselves. But it's not only us that wish we could know everything, that we could know God. That's why I said everything, because God is everything. It's not only us. All things wish they could know God. This minbar wishes it could know God. Fruits, stones, trees, everything made out of matter recites the names of Allah. They do tasbih of Allah's names. ولكن لا تفقهون. But you don't hear them. You can't hear the tasbih of the stones and the trees and the earth and all material and all matter. But all material wishes it could have the human faculties, because the human faculties are those which allow one to know God. But they still have an opportunity because they can become human. They all wish they could become human. And sometimes they do become human. That small seed that you plant in fertile soil, that grows with water and light, that becomes a tree, that bears fruit and gives you an apple, and then you eat that apple and that apple has become a part of you. And now that seed became insan. And the seed can now be part of the journey towards God. Everything in existence is slowly coming towards the center in order to know God. Everything. Right now you are at the perfect position, the perfect situation as a human being that has right now these faculties. If you use them right, then you're on your journey to know God. In order to know Him, you must know yourself. We've discussed where we are right now in terms of the realms that we live within. that the world is understood to be insanun kabir. The world, and I say the world, I mean all the realms, I don't mean a planet. All the realms, insanun kabir. It's a giant human being. And the human being is known as alamun saghir. It's a small world, the existential cosmos. Because all the worlds, what this means is, all the worlds are reflected to the human being. You are a mirror to the worlds. The worlds, we spoke about the worlds, the different realms that we live in, dunya, in the center, where we're in right now, the world of physical limitations, that's the world. The first physical world. Above that, encompassing that layer, is barzakh, or alamul mithal, or alamul khayal. Encompassing that layer, is alamul uqul. The second layer is the world of imagination, barzakh, the dead souls go, your dream world, your imaginary state, that's a part of you. The world of uqul, the world of intellect, angels that only see haq, they don't see any desire whatsoever. It's the world of uqul, even though aql here means something else, but we won't go into that. It's the world of angels. And then encompassing that world is the world of the wajib, the necessary existent, which is Allah's realm. But really and truly, it's all Allah's realm, and that realm is not even a circle, it's infinite. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum, He's with you wherever you are, because He encompasses all these worlds. This is what we live in right now. It's not a tower. It's not that you die and then you go to barzakh, and then from barzakh you go to heaven. It's all happening right now. Right now. It's all parallel. So whatever you do now is reflected in the world to come. Whatever you do now is real, realer than you know. Every little thing you do reflects the real you that will be born in that world. And all of those worlds reflect you, because you also are made up of material and matter. You also have the imaginary faculty, and you also have the intellect. So the world is a giant human being, and you are a small world, and you're both reflecting each other. The idea is, you want to, from the center, from dunya, the smallest, the lowest world, it's called dunya because it is dani. Dani means the lowest. It's the lowest because of physical limitation. Imagine your infinite potential, because your true self, your essence is not material. So your essence is not from this realm. Okay? Your essence is not from here. You experience all of these faculties yourself. When you imagine, when you dream, that's that part of you that is reflective of the barzakhi world. So you know that world. And the more in touch you are with that world, and what you do in that world is what your barzakh will be. However, some people get stuck in that world. Because if you play with your imagination too much, or you allow yourself to engage with your imagination in unhealthy ways, then you're building your barzakh up in that way, and you get stuck there. Like a lot of people, for example, when they say, I see weird creatures at night, and I could swear they're real, and sometimes they call them jinn, or whatever they want to call them. And I'm not saying the person's a liar, because even if they made it up, it's still real. Because if they made it up with their imagination, it's still what they're experiencing in their barzakhi reality. They created that in their parallel reality of imagination. It's real for that person, and they get stuck there. And the way to move out of that unhealthy state, because imagination is good when it's healthy, is to allow the intellect to do its work, because the intellect differentiates between what's right and wrong. So that I can tell if something is real or not real, in terms of the realm I'm in right now. Can it hurt me or can it not hurt me? And if it can't hurt me, why should I fear it? But when I'm stuck in imagination, I'm always fearing in that world. I'm hoping I haven't lost you guys. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ali Muhammad. I know it's a lot to take in a lecture, but hopefully you're keeping up with every day, because every day is building on the day before. So if you feel like you're lost, inshallah you can catch up. So what I'm trying to say is that the world, all these worlds are one. Okay? They're all part of one thing, the same way you are one. You experience all these different faculties, but you're still one. You're one. Why do I say that you're one? It's really important that we know that you're one and the world is one because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. So the oneness will make sense at the end. Allah is one, the world is one, I am one. I am one, the world is one, Allah is one. The world reflects you, you reflect these worlds, you live through these. Constantly you live through these worlds. But sometimes you get too stuck in dunya. You do too many dunyawi things and you become a person of just matter. Imagine the whole universe is still matter. The whole dunya universe. I'm talking only dunya right now. When you go up into space and billions of light years, it's all still matter. Energy and dark matter, it's all still material. So that's still dunya. That's not out of dunya yet. Dunya is the material realm. The next realm is the immaterial realm. You experience immateriality sometimes because your knowledge is immaterial. It's not in your brain. And your true essence is immaterial. But you might not realize that when you are often engaged in dunya, dunya, dunya. Even if it's halal. Even if you just love eating tasty food and doing things that you enjoy constantly with your body, then what happens is you get so used to your body, you don't know existence above that body. But there's much more. Because you can rise with your imaginary faculties and your intellectual faculties. The idea is, in the other realms, there is no time like there is in this realm. Because this realm is governed by time and space. Because of the movement of the material things. In the other world, there is no material. So it's not governed by time and space. And then slowly, some hadiths begin to make a little bit more sense when you start to look at it all in this way. Because when time becomes irrelevant, then you begin to understand more about what the prophets cried for when they would think of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Because in terms of dunya, he wasn't born yet. In terms of the chronology of this world, Karbala had not yet happened and he wasn't born yet. But we say, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ كُنْتَ نُورًا فِي الْأَصْلَابِ الشَّامِخَةِ وَالْأَرْحَامَ الْمُطَهَّرَةِ. I bear witness that you were a light. You are a light in the pure loins of men, into the pure wombs of women. Beforehand, so chronology no longer has relevance here. Because the prophets, Ibrahim and Isa and Musa, when they cry for Abu Abdullah, they're crying for that nur, that light that was before this world, because this world is dunya, but there's those worlds above it, the worlds that are immaterial, where that light exists before the chronology of this world. And that's a very special light. When we say, وَأَرْوَاحُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْوَاحِ وَنُفُوسُكُمْ فِي النُفُوسِ, and your souls are in the souls, and your spirits are in the spirits. To the Ahlul Bayt in Ziyat al-Jami'ah. What do we mean when we're saying that? All of us here, the spirit of things that came out in the chronological world. When the Prophet Muhammad asked, when the Prophet Muhammad asked his companion Jabir, what was the first creation? And Jabir said, you know better. And the Prophet responded, Nuru Nabiyika ya Jabir. It was the light of your Prophet that was created first. So the Prophet was around before all of them. That's why he said, I was a prophet before Adam. Sometimes we don't know what these things mean because we're like, how does that work exactly? And we just let it pass. But it's when you understand the concepts of the worlds in layers and how it's all parallel and these are above time, then you begin to understand these hadiths about the special station of these people who we know in chronological historical terms. Karbala was the play, a theater of that light. It was the story of that light being told in this world. The story of righteousness and of sacrifice and of pain. A story that breaks our hearts but keeps us living. It's a story that manifests the name of Allah when we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa al-muhyi. He's the one who brings life, revives, because Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, through Karbala, he revives the hearts of people, manifesting that name. So we start to understand the textual literature a little bit differently. But then, okay, if the world is like this, so I have dunya world, I have imaginary world, I have the uqul world, the angel world, then the infinite world of God. Reflecting upon myself, man arifa nafsa faqad arifa rabbah, okay, this is one world, I am one, I am a body, I also have a mind, an intellect, and I also have a soul, or as we say, in Islam we say fitrah, the innate nature of the human being, or heart, or whatever you want to call it in English. So this is me reflecting that world. But I'm one. I'm not part mind, part body. Because I don't say, my stomach is hungry, my mind thinks, my heart loves. I say, I love you. And I think, and I am hungry. I always refer to myself as I, with all the different parts of me. So they're not actually parts of me. They are dimensions of me. Different dimensions of the one me. But I'm still one. I'm one. The reason why I keep stressing that I'm one is because if there is something lacking in one dimension, it's going to affect me as a whole because it's still me. It's not like a different department. Something that affects my mind does not affect my heart. That's not true. The mind department is not independent of the heart department. They're all one. So they must be aligned in harmony. And when it's aligned in harmony, you get to know yourself. So, the part of me that's a body, let's begin just like the world. The part of me is like a body. My eyes, my nose, my hands, my tongue. These are the ways in which I access the world around me in dunya. Whatever I allow into myself is becoming a part of me. Whatever you watch, and whatever you listen to, and whatever you do, and whatever, everything you're using your physical senses for enters into you. So that's what this function is for. But we want to focus on the next two. We have the intellect. The intellect is that part of me, as I said, that differentiates between right and wrong. The intellect is supposed to be my compass. That's what it's for. The intellect is supposed to point you to the right way. Which way to go? What is the truth? So the intellect is supposed to tell you, hey, insan, you are a being that will die. You are depending on another being for your existence. You should really spend this time committing yourself to this existence that you rely on. Okay, so the intellect knows to go to God. That's what the intellect is for. The intellect's job is to identify God. That's what it's for. And as we said, when we don't identify God correctly, that means there's something lacking in the intellect. So when we identify God as money, or when we identify God as a person, or as power, that's the intellect not doing its job correctly. It means the compass is off. The map is off. So the compass needs to be directed. The intellect, when used correctly, in a healthy manner, points towards the right way. But the problem with the intellect is it can't move on its own. The intellect can point you, but it doesn't move. It just points. It says, that's the right way. God is this way. This is what you have to do to be with God. A lot of us know sometimes what to do. We don't do it. Because the intellect can't do it for us. You know what can move? The fitrah can move. The fitrah is the engine of the self. You want to call it your heart, your engine, your fitrah, whatever. That's what can move. Basically, the fitrah is that part of you which attracts and repels. You hate being with anything that is lacking perfection. You don't like ignorance. Even if you're ignorant, you don't want anyone to call you ignorant. You don't like ugliness. You like knowledge. And you like beauty. Even if you're not knowledgeable, when someone says you're knowledgeable, you like that. Because you like perfections. Because these are the names of God. You don't like what's away from that. Now, the heart is blind. That's its weakness. The fitrah's weakness is that it's blind. It can't identify God. The intellect can identify God for you. The heart can't. But what the heart wants is more. The fitrah that's inside all of you, God put it inside you so you can go to Him. Because it gravitates towards infinity always. Everything you do is always gravitating towards more, more, more. You want to go towards infinity. Right now, many of you maybe are preparing for university. Once you do that, you finish, you want to get married, then you want to have kids, then you want to get a good job to make good money or whatever it is you want to do, and then you want to have grandchildren, you want to become CEO, or you want to retire so you can go fishing. Whatever it is you want to do, you want to do something more. You want more relaxation, more happiness, more money, more children, more love, more something. So you want more, always. And we never stop to ask ourselves, when do I actually stop? You can't, because you love more, because you love infinity. You were designed that way. That's how you are set up to go towards infinity, because God is infinity. Now, no matter what you do, you're always going to want more. You can't stop that. That's a good thing. But you want to make sure that it's healthy. In CERN, we have a saying, if he was given half the world, shukran. If in CERN was given half the world, he would ask who the other half belongs to. We always want more. Anyone who is logical, if I offer you $10 or $1 million, you would always go for $1 million. If anyone said $10, you would say that person doesn't have a sound mind, right? Why do you think you choose the million? You want more. More is better in the way in which we understand things. All the time, if you're sound, that is. If your faculties are sound. Now, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to align and harmonize our hearts and our minds. We're supposed to harmonize those two. We're supposed to harmonize it so that the intellect points towards the right way and the heart goes there. Because the heart doesn't know. Sometimes it sees money and it loves it. Because it's more. Or people. And it loves that person. Independent of God. It thinks that person is God. Because it's more. It's giving them beauty and solace and peace. More peace, more solace, more beauty. That's God. The heart thinks. So the heart starts to be tricked by shaitan. He says, Yuzayyin lahum ad-dunya. He begins to show you, look, there's more here, and there's more here, and there's more here that you're going to enjoy. And you, if your intellect is not on point, your heart begins to go towards these things. Because it's an engine, it's just going to go. It doesn't know where it's going. Your intellect has to be so sharp that it sees that. But the point, the central point of everything that I'm saying is that they are one. They're different faculties of the one you. Because the one you is a small world reflecting the bigger world. It's all together. So as we're reflecting this bigger world, we want to understand how we go from my nafs, because now we're trying to understand ourselves, if these are the faculties of myself. I want to go from my nafs to God. How do I go from this, harmonizing the intellect and the fitrah and the body in a way that reflects the world in harmony? And then if I know myself, I can know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At this point, I have to ask you guys a question. I want you to imagine the definition of existence. Because you must have come across that word a lot, and maybe we didn't deep it, existence. Or we say in Arabic, in Islamic philosophy, wujud is existence. You exist, I exist, this exists, everything exists around us, right? Okay. But don't think about things that exist. I want you to think of existence itself. It's going to be hard for you to imagine something specific. Just pure existence, okay? Now imagine everything, all of existence, imagine it to be here. Here, in this circle. All of existence is here. What would you say is here? If all of existence is here, what would be outside of it? What would be outside of that? If there's something outside of it, it exists. So it has to be an existence. So then what's outside of it? Non-existence. But non-existence doesn't exist. is just a term that we use to describe that which doesn't exist. So it doesn't exist, so it can't be there, it can't hold something, because it doesn't exist. If it exists, it'd be in existence. So what's here? The answer is nothing, because there is no circle, because existence is infinite. Because for it to exist, it's infinite. Otherwise, if it's not infinite, you have to tell me what holds it in. What's the border of existence? And what's outside of the border? There can't be something outside the border, otherwise it would exist, so it's in existence. So existence is infinite. And existence, if it's infinite, that means there can't be another one. You can't have two infinities. So there's only one. One and infinite. Okay. I'm going to get to us in a moment. I'm just talking to you guys about the source of what we are. Our source. Not barbecue sauce. Source. So, existence, infinite, one. Okay, I'm going to have to use an example here. Imagine this is existence, but it's an eternal line, okay? Eternal line of existence, because it's infinite. Think of it as a line, just never ends, has no beginning and no end, existence itself. Let's say we had a centimeter here, and a centimeter here, and a centimeter here, and a centimeter here. And we put that out of the line, right? That's still part of the line. But now I put two marks, a centimeter, and I said that's its own centimeter. This is its own centimeter. It's still part of the line. But now I see it on its own without the line. I'm looking at 1 centimeter, 1 millimeter, 5 millimeters, another centimeter, a centimeter. Those centimeters, they are the limitations. Limits, they're borders in the line of existence. Those borders, that's what you are. You're a border. You and I were just borders. We are the centimeters on the line of infinite existence. We're borders. Everything you are is a had. It's a border. You are not your had though. You're not your limitation. You're not the centimeter really. You're not your limitation. You're something beyond the limitation, but you start to think that this limitation, which I called yesterday quiddity or mahiyah, that centimeter we're talking about, the border in the line, we think that's actually me. Because here, look, we all exist and we just get around things as things exist. This is the idea of multiplicity, of if God is one, how come there are all these different things? The different things actually are not different things, they're just borders. There is only one thing. You're all just borders. The hadith goes, Kan Allah, Allah was, وَلَيْسَ مَعْهُ شَيْءٍ, and there was nothing with him. Kan Allah, وَلَيْسَ مَعْهُ شَيْءٍ, وَهُوَ الْآنَ كَمَا كَانَ. Allah was, and there was nothing with him. And in this moment, he is as he always was. You understand? Allah was, and there's nothing with him. And in this moment, he is as he always was. So there's still nothing with him. So where are we? With the centimeters. With the borders. With the borders in this. In the lowest world still. In the physical world still. We experience some of the other worlds with our faculties. And the greatest border is like a mile. It's a mile to your centimeter, which we call in philosophy al-insan al-kamil, or we can call it in religion the prophet or the imam. He is the greatest border. But he breaks that limitation. Because the idea is we're supposed to reach a level through that introspection when you can zoom out and you realize, hey, I am not the border. But my origin and my source tells more about me. My source is existence itself. So when I remove the border from my sight, I go back to the line. of infinity, of infinite existence. I see it all in front of me. I zoomed out. And then what happens? مَنْ عَرِفَ نَفْسَهُ فَقَدْ عَرِفَ رَبَّهُ. Because you saw the line. You have to break that mold, break the chain, break the border. You can't blame the ocean for only giving you as much water as you are able to take with the cup that you bring. That's your border. You might bring a bigger container. You say, you only gave me this much. But the ocean is infinite. How big is your container? What if you break your container? What if you become one with the ocean? What if there's no more line? مَنْ عَرِفَ نَفْسَهُ فَقَدْ عَرِفَ رَبَّهُ. And then I see, okay, I am aware of myself. If I'm aware of myself, if I am aware of who I am always, I know that I'm Hussein, I wake up, I know me. All the animals are aware of themselves. And I have awareness of my hunger and my pain in a way that I can't describe to you. I can tell you I'm hungry, but you can never feel my hunger. I can tell you my knee hurts, I have pain in my knee, but maybe if you're a doctor, you can diagnose it, you can see what's wrong, but you can't feel the actual pain in my knee. I have, they call it ilm khuduri. I have direct knowledge of the pain in my knee. No one's telling me about it. I feel it, it's there. I also have direct knowledge about who I am. I know me. So if I can know me, with me, and then I can break the border on this journey, then I can know the line. I can be self-aware of the line of pure existence, of the infinite line I'm talking about. I can be aware of that without anyone else telling me. I would be aware of it on my own. I see it within myself. Because مَنْ عَرِفَ نَفْسَهُ فَقَدْ عَرِفَ رَبَّهُ. He who knows himself knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I can know Allah without any proof from the outside. It can all be inside me. When I know me, when I know that I'm not my border, when I break the border and I become one with the ocean. كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْآنَ كَمَا كَانَ. Allah was, and there was nothing with Him, and He is now as He always was. Doesn't mean you're not here, you're definitely here. You're definitely here. We're not saying we're just in a dream world, we're not saying that. You're definitely here. You are. See, there's no English translation to this. We call it Aynur Rabt. You are the connecting point. There is God, but there is nothing else. There's just the connection, which is us. Think of a well, one well with infinite water, and then there are small wells, different shapes, triangle, a circle, a square. You are the triangle, the circle, the square, but the water is all from one place. Your water, my water. So all of our sources, the same line, guys. We share more than you know. Our existence is the same. And existence is everything. And our whole journey is about breaking the border and going back to the ocean. Because inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا ابن رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا مظلوم يا غريب يا عطشان
Blessings be upon the dry lips of Hussein. Blessings be upon the chest that Rasulullah would embrace. Blessings be upon the chest that Fatima would kiss. Blessings upon the chest that Sukaina would sleep on. Blessings upon the chest that the horses' hooves would trample upon. The Imam stood still on the final day, mounting his horse, about to go toward the battlefield alone, to face 30,000 warriors thirsty for his blood. Just before he rode out into the battlefield, he hears a voice coming from the tent. Mahlan, Mahlan, Yabna Zahra. Zainab tells him, slow down, brother. Why are you in such a hurry to leave? She came out dressed in the clothes of Zahra alayhi salam. Imam al-Hussein felt goosebumps along his body when he saw Zainab. He unmounted his horse. He came towards her. She embraced him for the final time. She said, Hussein, before you go out into battle, show me your neck. Show me your chest. So the Imam responded without asking why. Zainab kissed his blessed neck. Then she kissed his blessed chest. Abu Abdullah finally asked, Zainab, why are you dressed like mother? And why do you kiss my neck and my chest? Brother, the amana has been finalized. The amana I promised my mother before she left this world, that on this day I would kiss your neck and your chest on her behalf. I kissed your neck because it's where the sword will pierce. And I kiss your chest because it's where the enemy will sit and where the horses will trample. Brother, on this day I lost my father, not just you. When I saw the sword strike your head, I remembered my father's wound. When I saw the arrow pierce your ribs, I remembered the door in the ribs of my mother. when I saw the spear pierce your stomach, I remembered my brother Hassan coughing out his blood. I lost my whole family on this day, Hussein. And now I am alone, mother of the orphans. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. ولعنة الله على الظالمين إلى يوم القيامة.